Jake hasn't traveled for
Shlema. Yeah, just love him.
It seems like at least he's on the road to recovery. At least he gave a share in his house. So yeah, so hopefully he'll, hopefully very soon he'll come kick me out of here. In the meantime, however many weeks we continue, what I want to start doing is, we did a little bit of this in the previous shiurim, but I want to discuss practical heroes, practical insights from the sikhs of Menachem Beis. And the way that we're going to do that is we're going to use a sefer that I have called Inyanei Shel Mashiach, Teirasei Shel Mashiach. It's a sefer that was printed in Tavshin Mem Gimel, and it doesn't seem to be so available now, but I was told that it was printed a few times and it sold pretty well. I don't know why it's not available these days. Mem Gimel, yeah. And the idea of the sefer is basically they took quotes from the Nachman Beis, both the Sichas and the Maimarim that the Rebbe was Magia, which is now Sefer Maimarim Melukat Hei and Vav, and they organized it by topic. So instead of learning through a whole long 15-20 page sikha, which we definitely should do, but another way to do it is to just look at it short quotes by topic, and this way you start to see a perspective that comes together from multiple sikhas on what is Galus, what is Geula, what does the Rebbe want us to do, and so on.
They call it the greatest hits. They call it the greatest hits.
Exactly. The highlights. Right? So, that's right. This is the Ninafna Bay's highlight reel. That's what we're going to do. So, we already don't have so much time because we're starting a little late, but what I would like to do is to learn, if you have time, the first two pieces of the sefer, so you have photocopies with you. And what I hope that will come out of this is that, especially if we do more than 1 week, so we'll come to see more practically what does the Rebbe want us to do. So before we actually read inside, a short hakdama. If we think about Avodas Hashem that involves Mashiach, yeah? What Avodas Hashem is there in the area of Inyan Igul Mashiach? So the Baal Shem Tov made something called Sudas Mashiach, right? And we know that one of the explanations given for Sudas Mashiach, why did the Baal Shem Tov make a meal that has to do specifically with Mashiach, is because he wanted to bring the idea of Mashiach into Maisa. He wanted that there should be an act that you should do, food that you could eat, right, that is connected to Mashiach. So let me ask you, why did he feel the need to do that? What was lacking before? What was Mashiach about before there was this practical act of eating that was connected to Mashiach? What was before that? What?
Never was done with no comments free.
So, the kitzur, the answer is, in the words of the Rambam, Mayim and Vayit Mechakel of Yosei. Basically, Avodas Hashem involving Mashiach was that you have to believe in Mashiach with a real emunah, and you have to want Mashiach to come, such that when you daven Shemona Esrei, or you daven other parts of davening, you're saying to Hashem that we want this to happen, we want Him to be Goel Yisrael and Bnei Yerushalayim, right? And all the other brachas in Shemona Esrei. So, what that means is that our emotions and our perspective play a major role in our Avodas Hashem surrounding Mashiach. Sort of like in Chassidus, it talks a lot about Ava V'Yira, right? That we love Hashem, we fear Hashem. It makes a big difference if we do a mitzvah out of habit, or if we do it out of love, or if we do it out of fear, or if we do it out of joy, or if we do it out of Kabbal Zel. What emotions we're feeling when we go about doing a mitzvah make a big difference in, so to speak, the value or the accomplishment of that mitzvah. Yeah, agreed? So the same way with, the same way with Mashiach, yeah? The Avodah is less, at least before the Baal Shem Tov and before Nana Alfa Beis, traditionally, the Avodah is less about what you do, and it's more about what you believe, what do you feel, and what are you asking Hashem for, so on. It's more in the realm of emotions. The Chiddush of Mashiach Suda is now there's an act that all you have to do is eat food, and you're doing something connected to Mashiach. Okay, so when we realize that, now obviously the fact that the Baal Shem Tov made a Mashiach Suda doesn't mean the emotional aspect goes away. Right? So when we're aware of that and we're kind of prepared to examine our own emotions and examine our own emunah, So that opens up for us a lot of the heroics of the Menachem Beis. That's not all that goes on in the Menachem Beis. The Rebbe also talks about Lima Dinyan Gula Mashiach and teaching people about Mashiach and Esam and Neshama and other topics as well. But there's a lot that has to do with perspectives and emotions. Okay, so with that in mind, I want to read these two pieces. And what I hope they'll do is they'll give us a clearer understanding of when we say that we have to believe in Mashiach, and we say that we are supposed to want Mashiach, we'll have a clearer idea of what exactly am I supposed to believe is going to happen? What exactly is it that I'm supposed to want to happen? And we may take out some other lessons as well, depending on how much time we have. Okay, but at the very least, I hope we'll get to that. So with that, we're going to start reading inside. And this is from the very beginning of the Sefer that I mentioned before, Teiras Hashem Mashiach, and it starts off with a discussion of Golus. So it brings a lot of quotes from the Rebbe and the Menachem Beis about the nature of Golus. So the first quote is from Tazrim Metzorah on the Nalef, and the Rebbe says like this, In Yana Helen Vehester Ha'or Ha'eliki. Its inyan, in other words, the inyan, the concept of Golus, is the concealment of the Or Ha'eliki, the godly light. Like the Pasuk tells us, I say Seinu Leibre Inu, we don't see our signs, which I think the simple explanation is we don't see the advantage of the Jewish people or the Torah, but Ad L'Cheshech, and it's to the point that it's not only a concealment of light, but it's even dark, right? Ubefrat hacheshach kofel umukupel the seifs managolus, and especially the doubled and redoubled darkness that's at the end of golus. Shemizeh bayim kol ha'anyanim abilti ritzuyim shebez managolus. That from this concealment of the light and from this darkness come all of the undesirable things that happen in golus. So now, the simplest thing that we learn from this is that Golus is apparently more than just all of the undesirable things. It's something else. It's something deeper. It's the difference between Ur and Cheshach. Right? And from that difference between Ur and Cheshach come all of the undesirable things. Yeah? So, what exactly is this difference between Ur and Cheshach? Yeah, does anybody have any thoughts? If you were here, one of the shirim we gave a few weeks ago, we kind of spoke about this idea of Ur. But let me ask you guys first, what's the difference between Ur and Cheshach? Because apparently Golus is Cheshach, and because Golus is Cheshach, that's why there's undesirable things. It's not that the undesirable things themselves are the Cheshach, it's that there is Cheshach, and because there's Cheshach, from that comes all the other stuff. So what's Ur and what's Cheshach? What does that exactly mean? Anybody have any thoughts?
Time's up.
Okay, you're right. We started late, so we better move. Okay, so I think that Bapashtus, the answer goes something like this. I'm going to skip all my Myron Kermis. If anybody wants to talk about Myron Kermis, we can do that afterwards, okay? But the idea of Ur, Eloki, and Chassidus is a mushel. The fact that we call, there's this, Hashem is giving off this light. When we talk about that light, we're not talking about anything similar to sunlight or the light from a light bulb. It's a mushel, right? So, okay, so there is a similarity, but it's not physical light that's coming out from Hashem. So, why do we call it Ur? What is supposed to be conveyed by that mushel? So one of the things that is supposed to be conveyed is the following. That Ur, the nature of Ur, part of what Ur does is it makes you aware of the Mar. It makes you aware of the source. So if I look out a window when it's daytime, and I don't see the sun in the sky, but I see that it's daytime, I still know that the sun is in the sky. Right? Because when I see the light, so I know that the source of the light must be there. If I look at the floor over here, so I still know that there's lights on above my head, even though I'm not looking at the light bulb. Because that is what Ur does. Ur creates awareness of the source. It creates an awareness of the presence of the source, and it also brings about some measure of understanding of what is the source. Oh, sunlight is bright and hot, So the sun also is probably bright and hot. Right? So there's some amount of understanding that comes about through the presence of the earth. Okay, so I'm skipping Maimon Chaimus. It's tempting. But, yeah, so this is the difference between Or and Cheshach. When we say that Golos is a time of Cheshach, right, we don't mean that it's never sunny and beautiful outside. Right, what we mean is that the Avisher's presence is not felt. Right, certain Maimonim also compare it to sleep. Why sleep? Sleep. Because in sleep, when you go to sleep, there's two main things that happen. One is that your eyes close, you don't see anything anymore. What? No comment. And the other one is that your seichel, your mind, becomes like a kayach hadimyon. You start like imagining weird things. Your seichel doesn't work the way that it's supposed to. Yeah? So that goes along with this idea of Or, that Or creates an awareness of the source and some amount of understanding of what is the source. Right? And Golos is Cheshach, and it's also sleep. You see the same idea that you don't see Hashem, right? And you don't understand so much about Hashem. Yeah? With me? So this is an idea, there's always more details we could get into, but this is the general idea of Or Eloki versus Cheshach. And the Rebbe is saying that the definition of Golos is the concealment of the Or Eloki. In other words, it's about the fact that we don't experience Hashem's presence clearly.
So Cheshach doesn't have to be a bad act.
Right. Meaning if everybody was like a really nice person, right? The whole entire world was just perfectly kind, well-meaning people. Yeah, we all got along perfect.
We're all white.
I'm not going to say that on the video, but anyway, wasn't me. So, yeah. Okay. So anyway, so if... So, anyway, if the world would just be, so to speak, perfect like that, then it still would be a world of Cheshach, according to this definition, because the fact that everyone's good and being nice to each other and world peace and so on, but if you're not experiencing the presence of God, then it's still Cheshach. Yeah? And that's why it's, first, the definition of Golos, the Indian of Golos, is that it's Cheshach. And from that comes all the undesirable things. And there's another sticha in Yonah Shalter Sechsis, the Rebbe says the opposite about Geula. The main thing of Geula is the Gili of, the Rebbe uses different terms, the Yechida of Seir Shtashulis, or the Etzem Achayis, the terminology is not important right now. But the idea is that Hashem reveals Himself, and because Hashem is revealing Himself, from that comes all the Shleimus that we always talk about with the Geula. So the main difference, according to this, between Golos and Geula is not the sort of the facts on the ground, the technical, how people are acting and different things like that. The difference is that Golos is when the physical world does not experience the presence of God, and Geula is when the physical world does experience the presence of God. That is the main difference. And that causes all of the other differences. Yeah.
Is it also the level of awareness? I mean, you can't tell that we're not aware of anything. We have trouble. We wouldn't be sitting here.
Right.
So, is it heightened awareness or is it just nowhere?
So that's getting into the details a little bit, but that's kind of goes with what I was saying before about sleep. That there's two things. There's seeing the Avisher and there's understanding about the Avisher. So seeing, we have zero. When we talk about seeing Hashgacha Pratis, that's something else. That's not really what I mean by seeing. I mean like tangible, just experience, like you see me sitting here, you don't see Hashem the same way you see me, right? And then understanding is severely diminished. Like when you go to sleep, it's not that your seichel doesn't work at all, it just doesn't work like the normal way that it should. Good question though. So if we take that, and this is our understanding of the real chiluk between Golos and Geula, so when we say that we're supposed to be ma'amin by a mechachil of Yosei, yeah, we're supposed to believe that Mashiach is going to come, and we're supposed to long for him to come. What is it exactly that we're supposed to believe in, and what is it exactly that we're supposed to long for? So I'm not saying this is the only answer, but based on what we're saying here, the answer is you're supposed to believe that this world is going to change from a place that does not experience Hashem's presence to a place that does experience Hashem's presence. And everything that comes with that afterwards. But that's the main point. It's not only believing that right now people are mean to each other and later they're going to be nice to each other. It's a fundamental spiritual transformation of the world, really. That right now Hashem does not reveal himself openly in that way. And when Mashiach comes, he will. And that is the difference, and that is what it means to believe in Mashiach. It means to believe that there's going to be a man who Hashem gives him the power to sort of flip the switch, if you will, to turn the darkness into light. Yeah, in the ultimate tangible way. Not in a nice, like, warm and fuzzy inside, oh, we made good deeds, so now we're turning darkness into light. No, darkness into light meaning you take a world that does not experience Hashem's presence, and you turn it into a world that does experience Hashem's presence. I want to get into the next piece, and hopefully we'll have time to tie them together. But we're not going to have time to read it inside. We only have 5 minutes left, so I'm going to just say it outside, and you have it there if you want to read it afterwards. Okay, so the Rebbe says that, and this is from the Sikha of Baal Eischon and Aleph, so you see how we're combining different Sikhas here. The Rebbe says that when the first Yidden who moved to Poland moved there, so they called it Poilin, or that was the name of the country, Poland. So the Yidden said, oh, Poilin, that means here, we're going to stay over. And the Rebbe says, really, the word Lin specifically means to spend the night over there. So Poilin, to those Yidden, meant Poilin, here we're going to spend the night, meaning here we're going to sleep here in Golis. In other words, we're going to spend the night of Golis over here. But in the morning, in the time of light, yeah, so we're going to go back to our true place, which is Eretz Yisrael. And the Rebbe actually says that this is really why, this is the real reason why Poland is called Poland. Because even though they don't see, but their mazel sees. So that's really what the name is for. Okay? So what does that tell us? Let's look at just the third paragraph of the, like the second piece, but there, you see that it's three paragraphs. So let's just read that inside. Okay? So the Rebbe says, "Ubaze yeshnei remez neisaf ba'avedas Hashem." This tells us an additional hint in our Avedas Hashem. Remember at the beginning we were talking about Avedas Hashem involving Inyanei Gula Mashiach. Right? So you see here, the Rebbe says this is Avedas Hashem. Kiyadua, shetzirichem lo meid heira mikol davar shesheimim meirayim. As is known that we have to learn a heira from everything that we hear or that we see. The Rebbe says, you see, I double underlined it there. L'chol l'reish al Yehudi l'das. Most of all, a Yid is obligated to know. It is incumbent upon a Yid that he should know. This is a type of avoida. Yeah? We're saying a Yid has to know something. What does he have to know? Shagolus hi cheshech v'layla. That Golus is darkness and it's night. Similar to what we were just talking about. V'rach shalonim sham. And we're only sleeping over the night over there. Or over here, I should say. But this is not his true place and not his true situation. And even together with this, meaning together with understanding that Golus is temporary and we're only sleeping over the night, in other words, we're only staying here temporarily, at the same time, we also have to know that we have to use it out for good and Kedusha. But I guess for our discussion of Maimon Bayom Mechachal of Yosef, I'm focusing more on the first part of it, which is that the Rebbe is saying that we have to know that Golus is temporary. Yeah, it's an avoidah for us to know that, to think about it and internalize that our whole situation right now is temporary. Now, if we put the two sichas together, yeah, so when we say Golus is temporary, so what does that mean? So maybe if I didn't know about the first sikha, I would have thought Golus is temporary. It means, okay, it's only temporary that I'm living in Brooklyn, and it's only temporary that people don't get along, right? And all those types of things. But in light of the definition of Golus that we gave in the first sikha, so it means that I'm supposed to realize that the hell and the hester of the Or Eloki, the fact that the Eibusher is not revealing himself in a tangible way in this world, that is what I have to realize is only temporary. So the Rebbe is saying, I have to train my mind, right? L'chol l'reish al Yehudi l'das, and you'd have to know, and the lashon is das, which suggests we have to connect to it and feel it, right? That this type of reality, where we don't experience Hashem's presence openly, that is only temporary. And that is what it means, Mayim Midbar, that is what it means to believe in Mashiach, to believe that the concealment of Hashem's presence is only a temporary thing, and that Mashiach is going to come, put it to an end. And Mechaka Leviyaseh then means to long for that, to want that to happen, to feel good about that. Right? A person could ask themselves, when you think about God revealing Himself in this world, is that something that makes you happy? Is that something that makes you nervous? Right? Is that, are we not sure? Are we some days better, some days worse? Where are we holding in that sort of emotional relationship with this idea that God is going to reveal Himself? Yeah, and so I think that this is the basic type of chassidus of Mayim Midbar Mechach Leviyaseh, right? Or in the words of the Gemara, it says that we're going to be asked after 120 tzipis of the Yeshua, did you long for redemption, salvation? Right? This is what we have to think about. It's not only about the physical details of the Gula, it's about Hashem revealing Himself. And that's what we're believing in, and that is what we're longing for, and what will hopefully happen today, the coming of Mashiach, take it from Yad Vashem.